We'll be looking at John 4, verses 10 through 29. This is the well-known account of the woman at the well. Jesus had promised this woman that he would give her a drink of living water. He promised her that this water would satisfy her in the depths of her soul. I would imagine that this probably appealed to her. Let's read verses 10 through 14 of John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." This woman had tried all types of physical relationships to satisfy the deep longings of her soul, and they had all left her empty and thirsty. Sex had not satisfied her. Marriage had failed 5 times to satisfy her. Living in the depths of sin on the fringes of society had failed to bring her happiness. Here, Christ offers her an opportunity to find everything that she has been looking for by merely believing his offer. Believing and receiving his offer of living water. How many listening today, you've tried sex, you've tried marriage, you've tried living in all kinds of different sin, you've tried this, you've tried the, basically you've tasted everything that this world has to offer, and you are miserable. You have not been satisfied. There is a longing. There is a longing in your soul. Could it be that longing is for Christ? Notice in our text, verse 13, the words drink it in verse 13 and 14. They're worth noting today. In verse 13, the word drink it is in the present tense, active voice. What Jesus is saying, what Jesus is saying in verse 13 is this: even if you keep on drinking the water from this well, you will get thirsty again. Look at verse 13 again. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." The water of this world, the things this world has to offer. As I said, the word drinketh is the present active voice. What Jesus is saying in verse 18, that even if you keep on drinking the water from this well, you will get thirsty again. However, look at the word drinketh in verse 14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again." The water that I will give him. That word drink or drink it there is in the aorist tense, the active voice. Jesus is saying in verse 14, "But whosoever takes just one drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Never. So one water you will continually thirst after. The other water that Christ is offering, you will never thirst again. In other words, Christ is promising that just one trip to him will satisfy the soul forever. forever. You may have tried it all. And if you have, I think you can safely say that it has left you feeling empty and unfulfilled. You want proof of it? Why in the world are you even listening to this message now? Why would you hear, want to listen to some preachers speaking against sex outside of marriage? Sex with, quote unquote, the same sex that you are. Why would you hear about marriage and divorce and sin and wickedness? Why are you even listening? Why ain't you just out participating in all that sins? Why are you listening to some Christian preacher talking about Jesus Christ and sin? If you are thirsty, the point is you are thirsty. You're thirsty for something that this world has not been able to satisfy you with. Christ will save you. He will forever satisfy the deepest cravings of your heart. Would you rather keep drinking from a well that can never satisfy? Or would you rather take one drink from a fountain that never fails to give perfect and absolute satisfaction? If you tried drugs, you started out sniffing glue or smoking a joint or smoking hash or something, and you wound up with a needle in your arm. You started out with sex, with a kiss, with a touch, and then you wound up with multiple partners in multiple different situations. You've tried it all, and you're not satisfied. You tried careers, you tried money, you tried success, you tried just fill in the blank, whatever it is you tried. We all pursue something, and then we come up empty. We find it doesn't satisfy. Because there's always more, one more. The water of this world never satisfies, but the water of Christ, the living water, satisfies. What is Jesus Christ offering? He's offering satisfaction and salvation for your soul. He's offering you the opportunity to have all of your sins forgiven. He's offering you the opportunity to be made right with God, to have peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Would you not want to know that you have peace with Almighty God? The one that you've been fighting for decades, you can be made right with the Father by the Son, Jesus Christ. He's offering you the opportunity to not go to hell, to go to heaven when you die. You ask, what's the catch? What's the gimmick? What do you want? There is no catch. There's no catch. All he requires from you is everything. He's telling you up front, everything. He wants you to come before him, repenting of your sin, confessing that you're a sinner, and calling on him by faith. He wants you to take his death on the cross as a payment for your sin. He wants you to believe what the Bible says about him. And he wants you to believe it all on the basis of faith. And faith alone. The just shall live by faith. Faith. Romans 10, verses 8 and 9 tell us this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me go on and read two more verses there. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Whoever believes on him, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will not be shamed. Everyone else that you believe in and trust in, including yourself, will cause you shame in the end. Only those who have come to Christ will never be ashamed. If you will not do that, is no other ending for you but condemnation and hell. But yet, if you come to him by faith, he will save your soul. He will save you and he will satisfy your soul. The attractions of the world will lose their grip on you. You've been enslaved to sin for decades. And yet Christ would break those chains. Christ will save you and he satisfies you. Notice, after this woman comes to Christ, it changes her activities. When she hears that Jesus is the Messiah, look at verse 26. We're going back in John 4. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." She has all the information that she needs. You listening today, you have all the information that you need. Come to Christ. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. That's more than enough information. She forgets about her mission to get some water from the well. Remember, this woman had gone to the well. She was a woman of Samaria that came to draw water from the well. And Christ had said to her, "Give me a drink." That was in verse 7. So now she hears that Christ is the Messiah. Now she wants to tell others about the well of living water that she has experienced. That artesian well that Christ spoke of in verse 14. Notice, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." That's what you're hearing from this preacher today. The fountain of water springing up into eternal life is busting forth. It's coming forth out of the fountain, the words of life, the living water. I was just as you were, a person pursuing the pleasures of this world. All the sin, all the wickedness. I was raised in the New York City area, in the streets of Manhattan. I looked for all the pleasures of life and experienced them, and they did not satisfy. And one day, some old preacher did exactly what I'm doing right now. Come and told me about Christ. Even as Christ went and told this woman. And you're hearing of that living water today. It's springing forth up into everlasting life. When Christ comes and regenerates a person, he changes a person. Christ does it in every life he redeems. He changes. He changes old sinners into something brand new. He makes them saints of the Most High God. And it changes. You wind up what it says in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Notice, a new creation. "Old things have passed away." Would you not want that to be true of you? "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us," those of us who have been redeemed, those of us born again, "and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself, sinners. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." That's what's happening right now. I'm an ambassador for Christ, a new creation, being used by God the Father to cry out to those of the world to be reconciled to him through Christ. For verse 21 tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." Made him, Christ, who knew no sin to be sin for us, in order so that for this reason we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me ask you something. Is that not the very opposite of what you may feel living in your sin? The righteousness of God? Do you not feel your unrighteousness when you look into the face of Jesus Christ, when you look at Jesus Christ? Do you not see your unrighteousness? But he became sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might become the very righteousness of God. Realize this, the old activities and attractions of sin and the world, they'll lose their appeal to the newborn child of God. They know they're saved, they know they're different, they want others to hear about how Jesus can change them too. That's what's going on right now. An old person that has been converted for decades, telling others, an ambassador of reconciliation, that God can save your soul through Jesus Christ. When Christ comes in, he changes everything. You'll walk differently, you'll talk differently, and you'll think differently. You'll have a brand new life, and nothing will be as it was. You will be a new person from the inside out. From the inside out. Religion just tries to go from the outside in, clean up the outside. But Jesus Christ comes in, he gives you a new heart. He gives you a new heart. He changes your disposition from the inside out. Notice that this woman runs to tell the men about Christ. Look at verse, go back to John 5, verses 28, 29. The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Christ?" Notice she runs to tell the men about Christ. Why the men? Why the men? Because they all knew her. Many, maybe had even knew her intimately. The other women, if you remember from yesterday's message, they hated her. But the men, they were attracted to her. So she runs to the very people who had shared her life of sin. As I said, many of you have been sexually promiscuous, drug addicts, drunkards, whatever. Usually after you get saved, the Lord has you witness to those very people that you had shared a life of sin with. So she turns to the very people she had shared her life of sin. Imagine how their curiosity is piqued when she comes running in the direction. However, this time things are different. Now she isn't talking about a rendezvous. Now she's talking about redemption. Imagine if you're a drug addict and your old drug addict friends see you and they're like, "Oh, okay, we can score together, or we can have a sexual encounter together." And this time you come and you're talking about redemption. You're talking about Christ. The woman isn't coming to arrange an affair with a guy. She's come to tell them about grace, about amazing grace, about Jesus Christ. She hasn't come looking for a date. She has come to talk about a deliverer. Yes, she is different. And the ones who knew her best see the change first. When you become a new creature, you don't have to worry about your friends. Your friends will eventually walk away from you. You won't have to worry about walking away from your friends. Your friends will walk away from you. Because they'll be like, "Oh, here's that Jesus freak again." But they'll listen to you a time or two. Again, when salvation is real, there's going to be a change in your life. Old friends will see the difference, and familiar activities will become something you used to do before you met Jesus Christ. Everything changes when you meet him. Notice how it changed with this woman in our text. Notice how this woman moved from not knowing Jesus Christ to proclaiming him the Messiah. How things changed. Look at verse 9. And we're back in John 4. I'm going to look through this and close it. John 4, verse 9. To show you the gradual change in the woman. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So, first she proclaims Jesus as a Jew, which he was. He is a Jew, verse 9. Look at verse 11. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" So first she calls him a Jew, then she calls him sir. And look in verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." So you have Jew, sir, and now notice, sir, from a Jew to sir to prophet. You are a prophet. By verse 29, she has reached the place where she calls him Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse 29, come. Well, look at verse 28. The woman then left the water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And that is the question before you today. Could this be the Christ that I'm hearing proclaimed to me today? She sees him as the need of her soul. And Christ is the need of your soul and my soul. And for every human being that has ever been born, he is the need of every soul. He is the Anointed One. He is the one that reconciles men and women, boys and girls, to God the Father. How did she make the progression, the woman in our text, from antagonism to acceptance? The Lord led her along. He brought her from knowing nothing about him to seeing him as her only hope in just a few minutes. And hopefully, my friend, today that you will see that Christ is your only hope. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. You remember what it says in our text in verses 13 and 14. John 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." What a promise. What a promise. Are you saved today? Have you ever come to Christ? Are you born again? If you are, then rejoice. Just like the Samaritan woman that day, you've discovered that there is more in his well than just water. There is life, there is joy, there is peace, there is blessings, there is power, there is glory, there is a blessed eternity, and so much more. Do you not think that you ought to praise him for that today? Maybe you're grumbling and mumbling and disappointed that the Lord, quote unquote, hasn't come through in all the circumstances of life. Have you not heard? Have you not known that we're to count it all joy when we fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The Lord is working in you, brother. The Lord is working in your sister. We are to praise him, for he has been good to us. And if you're listening today and you're not saved, you need to come to Jesus Christ right now. If you will come to him, he will save you. He is the living water. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst.